The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Where that players can go ahead and make some money. Not so fast. Let's just pump the brakes here. One, it's the NCAA. Just going to get to that. There's a lot that we need to look around when we're looking at the what went down yesterday with the NCAA and what that could mean for the future of college sports. I'm Jordan Hamm, filling in for Brad Sessmatt here on the Brad Sessmatt Show on Sports 360 AZ. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Sports 360 AZ. Devin Henry on the other side of the glass, the Swiss Army knife of the company, making sure we look and sound good. Coming up on today's show, we have Colleen Wolf, NFL Network, helping look at this Thursday night game between the Cardinals and the Niners. She's going to be there for the pregame and postgame show. So we talked yesterday a little bit about she was almost actually an Arizona State Sun Devil, believe it or not. So she gets into that story. If you know her work on Good Morning Football Weekend, she does a great segment called Dear Diary, and she did one on the fly for us talking about the running back room for the Arizona Cardinals. And then Nick Bosa, Kyler Murray, number one, number two pick from last year's draft going head-to-head. So she's going to preview that. Also, Kate Rooney from Cron 4 Sports in San Francisco helps us get a little bit more familiar with the San Francisco 49ers. She's out there all the time working hard, doing really good work covering the San Francisco 49ers. So caught up with her to see what the Cardinals have in store for them on Thursday night. They play the Niners in two of the next three games. So a ton of NFC matchups, NFC West matchups in the next 8 weeks for the Arizona Cardinals. Five times they will play an NFC West opponent. So she helped us preview the San Francisco 49ers. And then Justin Spears of the Arizona Daily Star, ESPN Tucson, friend of Sports 360 AZ, my good buddy, jumps on to talk about the coaching changes for the Arizona Wildcats on the defensive side of the ball. Chuck Cecil is the interim defensive coordinator now. Marcel Yates is now out. What does that mean for recruiting? What does that mean for the on-field product? The Wildcats have a pretty rough end of the season, going up against Oregon, Utah, Arizona State, even this game this week against Oregon State. I don't think that's a gimme. I think Oregon State's a lot better than people give them credit for, and that defense is led by a former Chandler Wolf, Hamilcar Rashid Jr., who leads the Pac-12 in sacks, in tackles for loss, and it's not a close margin. And they're coming off a bye week. It's not like he's accumulating this and they'll all get caught up. He just had a bye week and he still leads the conference by two sacks. He leads tackles for loss by like four or five. He's having an insane year. So something to look out for on Saturday. Other news and notes that's going to be brought to you by SagiCore Now. SagiCore Now, protect what matters most. And look, on the college side of things, obviously the NCAA voting that players can use their names and likeness to potentially get compensated. Things are so unclear with the vote, with the verbiage that came out. And Sally Jenkins did a really good column on this for the Washington Post on just how they put a lot of wiggle room in the literature that they wrote on this. So I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I think that there are plenty of loopholes that they purposefully put in there so they aren't backed into a corner. And a lot of people reacting, you know, what NCAA football is going to come back on PS4 and Xbox. Brad Sessmatt had a column last night on how what are the questions that come with it? Will this go towards a 401k? Will this go towards this? Will this go towards that? I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, guys. I think this is going to move at a glacial pace, and I think that this is going to be something that may not be as impactful as people may initially think, because you know, Sally did a great job pointing out various points. They never really talked about money. They never, you know, they pointed out a lot of things throughout this that, you know, it's a catchy headline to say that players are going to get paid. I don't think that's going to happen in the way that we think, at least. So I'm definitely going to keep an eye on that over the coming months, over honestly the coming years, because we know it'll take a while for that. World Series, Game 7, guys. You got to love it. We're headed to Game 7. And unfortunately, with this World Series, it's been such a great World Series on the field. Off the field, it's been absolute garbage. And we talked a little bit about that last week with the assistant GM, you know, targeting female reporters, you know, bringing up a player with a domestic violence suspension and history. And just, you know, he was later fired. And we talked about that last week. Now on this side, if it wasn't for Anthony Rendon, we might be talking about how the Astros stole a World Series, not the Astros, the umpires, you know, gifted a World Series to the Astros because of an absolutely atrocious call that was made by the umpire. Base runner interference late in the game. Trea Turner had a slow roller up the third baseline. Pitcher takes it. Brad Peacock takes it, throws it. It was a bad throw to begin with, but they called runner interference because I guess the umpire thought Trea Turner was too far inside on the baseline when we've seen this play 100 times before. And it turned the game into, or that inning into, second and third, no outs, to runner on first with one out. Rendon shortly comes up after, able to hit a 2-run home run and then knock on a couple other runs to help seal the victory for the Nationals. So it's going to be Zach Greinke, Max Scherzer in Game 7. Excited to see that. But with these umpires, for the longest time after, what was it, Game 5, plenty of questionable calls, bad calls. And everyone was like, all right, give us the robo-umps. Give us the – we want those. And I was like, all right, let's pump the brakes. Like, I think part of the great part, especially with pitch placement for baseball, is not only the chess game between the hitter and the batter, or the pitcher and the batter, but the pitcher and the umpire, learning where that zone is, where can they get away, you know, paint some corners. Is this guy favoring low pitches, outside pitches? I think that's part of the chess game. And to fully go, we've seen in the NFL how they go so heavy with replay all of a sudden. And now it was a very reactionary deal. And I'm sure it's going to go away after 1 year. And just because it was so reactionary, and now every potential play is getting judged and not getting overturned, but the games are becoming longer now. But with these umpires, after that call last night where Brad Peacock just threw a trash throw to first base, and that is what caused a base runner interference when Trea Turner did nothing wrong, and then Joe Torre comes on after the game trying to justify it. That seemed reactionary too. Joe Torre, I've heard him speak in person, I've heard him speak on broadcast before. He knows his stuff, and there's a reason that he is positioned in MLB where he is. But it seemed like he was up against a wall too, and it didn't. I tweeted out, no one's feeling better about this, hearing Joe Torre speak. And it wasn't necessarily what he was saying, but it was the way he was saying it, and that it was like, yeah, I'm kind of backed up too. So, you know, what are you gonna do? So, but we have Game 7 now. For Diamondback fans, they may be upset to see Max Scherzer go out there, Zach Greinke go out there. Plenty of Diamondbacks involved. Look. When you look, I think the only player you can really look at and say, yeah, he probably got away, was Max Scherzer. You know, Adam Eaton, good player, has really made a nice career for himself. But with these trades, you can kind of justify all of them except for the Max Scherzer deal, because he turned out to be just one of the best pitchers in baseball. And, you know, the question when he was a young prospect was, you know, the way he throws and torques his shoulder, that could be, you know, just plenty of injuries down the line, but that clearly hasn't really happened for him, and he's become one of the best in baseball. But when you look at Greinke, you know, this is why the Astros went out and got him, is for these late, deep postseason opportunities. And he's been fine in the postseason so far. He hasn't been great. You know, you look at what Scherzer has done. What Steven Strasburg has been incredible this postseason. Gerrit Cole has been great. Greinke's been okay. Like, he's been fine. But this is his opportunity to go out and get it. And I'm going to love it if he pitches really well in Game 7 and they win the World Series. And he's just like, I don't want to fuss. Like, cool, we won. I don't want to fuss. You remember him talking about the no-hitters, the perfect games. He's like, I don't want to throw one. Then you guys are just going to want to talk to me. So, but going to be a great Game 7. This has been a really good, like I've said, really good postseason on the field. Soto continues to just build that legacy at age 21. This guy is just killing it right now. Bregman playing great as well. You know, the Bregman hit a home run, carried the bat with him, kind of got caught up in the moment like he was a T-baller, carried it with him, tried to give it to the first base coach, and it went out on the field. And then Juan Soto hit a home run later in the game and was like, that was a pretty cool move. I'm going to do that too. After the game, Bregman apologized and said, this isn't how I want to play baseball. Da, da, da. Soto was like, no, that, I thought it was cool. I want to do that more. We need more of that in baseball. We don't need these, you know, carbon copies of dudes that just play the right way and act like you've been there before. No, like, let's have some fun. This is why the NBA is thriving the past couple of years, because the players are recognizable. They have fun. They show personality. You know, when you're a baseball player, most of your face is covered by your hat. You're wearing a very similar uniform that covers a lot of your body, you know, and it's kind of a mentality of like, I'm not going to, you know, the team is above me. I don't want to show the personality. Let's get some fun in there. Let's get some personality in there. I remember people last year going crazy when Jock Peterson hit a home run, and he was kind of, not in a showboaty way, you could just tell he was excited. He was kind of galloping around the bases, you know, like he hit a big home run, because he did, because it was the freaking World Series. And there was the whole act like you've been there before crew come out. And guess what? He hadn't been there before. And if you have been there before, still celebrate. Like, what is the big deal? Have some fun. It's a sport. It's a game. And you're thriving on the biggest stage in baseball. One of the biggest stages in sports. Like, have some fun. So, Game 7 coming up tonight. Excited to see that. We have a jam-packed show, as I said earlier. Colleen Wolf, NFL Network, Kate Rooney, Cron 4 Sports, both helping us break down Cardinals, Niners, coming up on Thursday night. I'm going to be there on Halloween. I'm not going to dress up. It's unfortunate. I love dressing up. Devin's very disappointed. I feel like it's one of those things where it's a costume party that no one really dresses up to. And if you go all out, and knowing me, I'm a guy that will go all out for a Halloween costume. My freshman year of college, cut my hair into a mullet to be a redneck, and then kept it for like 3 days. I can't just do the like, oh yeah, I'm a ghost, whatever. Like, I like to go out all out. I love Halloween, but work in the game. I think Catherine Fitzgerald's going to have some fun. I may do something Halloween themed. I'm not sure. But they're going to help us preview that game. Justin Spears on U of A and what has been going on with the coaching staff and how they can kind of right the defensive ship with a big stretch coming in the second half of the season for them. So that's all coming up next. Colleen Wolf, NFL Network, almost Arizona State Sun Devil, joins us next on the Brad Sesmatt Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sesmatt Show. I'm Jordan Hamm, filling in for Brad on a short week for the Cardinals and the 49ers. And we are now joined by our next guest, NFL Network host Colleen Wolf. Colleen is the host of the NFL Network's NFL Game Day Kickoff, which airs Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, leading up to that 49ers and Cardinals game on Thursday Night Football. Colleen, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course. How are you? I'm so excited to come to Arizona this week.
Yeah, so I also saw you also host on Good Morning Football Weekend a segment where Mike Garofolo was targeting certain ASU coaches that could be looked at as NFL coaches, and you revealed you actually almost went to Arizona State.
Oh, my God. It's like, I hate to say this, but it's one of my biggest regrets that I didn't go there. I have my ID card from there. I picked out a dorm. I had my classes. And then last second, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to Drexel in Philly. And it was just like a complete 180. But hey, I guess it all paid off in the end.
Absolutely. And you're heading to the desert this week with this 49ers and Cardinals matchup. What are you most looking forward to seeing up close and personal?
Well, the 49ers D-line, after the draft, I was so excited about the prospect of these guys playing together, Nick Bosa, Dee Ford, DeForest Buckner. And now that we've started to see the fruits be born on the field in front of us, I mean, I'm so excited to see this in person, because the game, when you watch it on the field, is so much faster than it is on TV. And I just am so excited to see Nick Bosa and this line. And I know that this is probably not my right audience, because obviously you're in Arizona and this is not great news for Kyler Murray. So I am sorry, but listen, I can't lie. Honesty is my policy here. And I am really excited to see that. Now, I do want to see how Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals kind of come back from last week against the Saints, because that game, they just pressured him all game long. And it was a nice streak that the Cardinals had put together, those three straight wins. But they hadn't really faced a pass rush that was getting after Kyler. So I want to see how they're able to kind of help out Kyler in this situation, just knowing how dominant that 49ers pass rush is.
And this is a battle of the number one overall pick and number two overall pick from last year's draft. And looking, there was a lot of discussion this offseason here in Arizona of, would you rather have Josh Rosen and potentially Nick Bosa with a more offense friendly for Josh Rosen, or would you rather go Kyler Murray and what ended up being Andy Isabella? Seeing what Kyler Murray has done, seeing what Nick Bosa has done, especially coming off that strong week last week against the Panthers, could there be a scenario here down the road where maybe Cardinals fans are looking, saying, you know what, maybe we should have gone Bosa over Kyler?
Oh, man. I mean, that's so tough, because Nick Bosa is obviously such a strong talent and such a unique player. But this league is all about having a quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, then you don't really have a team. And I commend the 49ers, or the Cardinals, for going after it and admitting their mistake and moving on and trying something new and seeing if Kyler Murray is going to work. And I don't think that you can really make any judgments at this point on him, sweeping judgments, because I think that we've seen the potential from him, and he just needs to get those reps, and they just need to get more help for him on the offensive line and more players around him, skill position players, and he'll get there. I have faith that he's a good player and he's talented, and he'll be able to reach, I think, a higher potential than Josh Rosen. But of course, yes, Nick Bosa would have been amazing. He'd make any team better that he was on.
Talking to the NFL Network's Colleen Wolf, she will be here for NFL Game Day kickoff, which airs Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, leading up to the Niners and Cardinals on Thursday Night Football. Now, you do a great segment on Good Morning Football Weekend, Dear Diary, where you go into a lot of the roster dynamics, but write it in the form of a diary. When you're looking at this Cardinals running back room, and I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot a little bit here, but what would be the beginning steps of a Dear Diary with this running back room for the Arizona Cardinals?
Oh, man. I feel like it would have to be something like, maybe it's a Tinder situation. Maybe you're on Tinder and you're just like swiping through to see, you know, who you like, who's available. And it just feels like you're going on these dates and things just like aren't working out, or guys are canceling on you or they're not available. I mean, we know that David Johnson and Chase Edmonds are going to be out this week. And now you got the new guy coming to town, Kenyon Drake. So, you know, maybe he provides a spark. Maybe he's an unexpected candidate. So it's like all of a sudden, maybe you're going on a date with Kenyon Drake and you kind of like it. You know, I don't know. I'm workshopping here.
No, again, I put you on the spot, and that is certainly a great start. With this Arizona Cardinals team, I know, especially in the offseason, there were a lot of questions about bringing Cliff Kingsbury on and trying to translate that college offense to the NFL. We've looked at it from a local perspective here a ton, but a national perspective, halfway through the season, how do you think that the nation is kind of viewing this Arizona Cardinals team and this Arizona offense?
Well, I think that everyone kind of expected them to get out to a faster start, because for me, having covered the Eagles in Philadelphia and having been there for Chip Kelly when he first started, I think there were a lot of parallels drawn between the two, Cliff Kingsbury and Chip Kelly. And when Chip first started with the Eagles, I mean, they came flying out of the gates, and they were just like, run, 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 like just as many plays as possible. And we just didn't see the results right away from the Cardinals. And I think I thought it was nice that they were able to kind of have that stretch, those three games where they could get the wins, get their confidence up, kind of get into a rhythm. And I know the schedule is now a little bit tougher for them, but it just, the results haven't been, I think, where the expectations were for Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. But also, I think the expectations were way too high to begin with.
And with that, you mentioned the second half and that tough schedule that's going to be coming their way. Five of their next eight games against the NFC West, and you know, plenty of good teams within that division. Just what do you want to see out of the Arizona Cardinals? What sort of progress do you want to see in certain areas with Patrick Peterson coming back on the defense, and you know, the offense continuing to you know, get their feet under them? What sort of progress do you want to see from them this second half of the season, where Cardinals fans can kind of feel good that this year was at least a building block to greener pastures at least?
Well, I think once the Cardinals get their guys back healthy, like these running backs especially, I think that's obviously going to help Kyler. And any team that has a good running game, you're going to be able to get something going on offense with those play action passes and stuff like that. You can scheme around different things. And I think that will help a young quarterback like Kyler kind of get into more of a rhythm when you have guys like David Johnson and Chase Edmonds out there that can really run the ball. Now, I mean, who knows? Maybe Kenyon Drake brings something to your team that you don't even know about, and all of a sudden you have three running backs that you can play with. And with Cliff Kingsbury and all of the things that he could bring to this offense, all of this creativity, that's what I want to see. I want to see these guys get healthier, and I want to see them work a little bit better together and kind of get out there and run some different things. Now, obviously, Patrick Peterson coming back, that makes the Cardinals' defense better. But, you know, it's this week, I think, it's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. Short week, and you have George Kittle, and the Cardinals really struggle against tight ends. So that's another area that I think that everybody would like to see a little bit of improvement from the Cardinals team.
Colleen, thanks so much for the time and the insight, and safe travels to Arizona.
Thank you so much. Hopefully I'll see you out there.
Yeah, absolutely. A Halloween game for the Arizona Cardinals and 49ers. Colleen will be there on NFL Network's NFL Game Day kickoff. Again, that airs on Thursday at 3 p.m. leading up to that game for Thursday Night Football. And this is the Brad Sesmat Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. Jordan Hamm filling in for Brad. Cardinals have a short week against the 49ers. They play against NFC West opponents 5 of the next 8 weeks and have the Niners 2 of the next 3 weeks. So thought I would bring on Kate Rooney, Cron4 News sports reporter, covers the Niners very closely. Kate, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Jordan.
So before we get to this game, I saw you do something on Monday with the Niners and the Coast Guard. What was going on with that?
Well, the NFL has an initiative called Salute to Service, and part of that is trying to get 49ers players out to interact with current service people, their families, and veterans. And so that was part of this initiative. Four 49ers players went out to the Coast Guard base in Alameda in the East Bay here in the Bay Area. And got a tour. They got to do a pretend patrol of the local waters, watch a search and rescue demonstration, and get a tour of the big boats that they call cutters, which is the boats that the Coast Guard uses to basically do drug busts. And I got to tag along, so it was a pretty cool experience.
Now, I saw on your Instagram story there was quite a few linemen on a very small boat, and there was worry of weight distribution. Everything was good, though?
Yeah, they brought out three offensive linemen and one defensive lineman. So, you know, that's not a recipe that makes you feel safe out on the open water. But despite the fact that we didn't really think it through, everybody had their life vests on. We were good to go.
All right. Good to hear. So Niners coming off a great win over the Panthers, just absolutely dominant. Would you say that that was the best performance for the Niners so far this year?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally thinking of it as their signature win of the season, because it had all of the elements that have made this 49ers team great so far. You look at that absolutely dominant defensive performance, and it wasn't just Nick Bosa. It was Eric Armstead. It was DJ Jones getting in there with sacks. It was Richard Sherman with another interception. And then the play calling, just some absolutely confounding plays for the Panthers that Kyle Shanahan was able to draw up. That's another hallmark of this team that we've seen this year. And then what they do on offense. I mean, we saw Emmanuel Sanders being able to really make an immediate impact, open up the offense. George Kittle was absurdly open a couple times. And they were able to obviously get it done in the run game with Tevin Coleman having an incredible day. So, yeah, I think it had all the elements of the things that the 49ers do well. And I think that was the game. Up until now, they've still had some detractors who were saying, oh, well, you look at the combined record of their opponents, it's not that impressive. Wait until they play the Saints. Wait until they play the Packers. But the way that they were able to go in against this Panthers team that was admittedly on a pretty hot streak, had a defense that some people thought was pretty legitimate, and really effectively shut them down. Now everyone is thinking that they can hang in there with the other big boys, not just in the NFC, but in the league.
You mentioned Emmanuel Sanders. Just how much does that open things up for that offense, for Jimmy Garoppolo, to have just another weapon out there?
I think it really does, because that was definitely one of the knock on the 49ers, not just from what we've seen this season, but it was a big worry even in the off season when we were watching the 49ers get ready during training camp. It was clear that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't really have a number one target aside from George Kittle. His favorite target since he came to San Francisco has been Trent Taylor, a guy who has primarily plays in the slot and has been banged up pretty much that whole time. He's been out so far this season. Another promising guy, Jalen Hurd, a rookie who looked really good in the couple preseason games he played in, has also been out with a back injury. And the guys that they wanted to be able to rely on, like Dante Pettis, who, you know, was a first-round draft pick just a couple years ago, has not stepped up. Debo Samuel looks like he could be good, but he's still a rookie. There's still that learning curve going on. And then I think we're realizing that guys like Marquise Goodwin, Kendrick Bourne, the other guys that they have in that unit just aren't really number one receivers. And even though there was, you know, some dissension among people who cover the team as to whether they should give anything up to bring in a receiver when they were performing well, I think you have to look at what happened on Sunday and say this was the right decision, because they didn't give up that much for Emmanuel Sanders, just two second and third round draft picks. And he caught a pass on the first drive. He scored a touchdown. So it was clear that he just adds another weapon for Jimmy Garoppolo. And that means that teams are going to have to give more, you know, importance to covering George Kittle and covering the other areas on the field now that they've got an additional weapon.
Now, the Arizona Cardinals very limited in the running back room, but sounds like the 49ers will have some limited availability for some of their running backs, especially on a short week. Just how do you see that really affecting things for the Niners offense for this game against the Cardinals?
It definitely does, because, you know, as we've seen, that has been what they've relied on so far for offense the most part this season. And a big part of that has been Matt Breida, who's clearly one of the fastest running backs in the NFL and is almost an every down back in some of the games that he's in. He has struggled with injury issues throughout his career. He's always coming in and out of games with ankles, and that's what's plaguing him right now. Didn't practice yesterday. I think they're going to try to take it as easy as possible on him in hopes that he'll be able to go on Thursday. But they have done a good job with their backup so far. You know, when they started this season, they wanted it to be Jet McKinnon, Tevin Coleman, and Matt Breida. And, well, Jet McKinnon, not available at all this season. He's on the injured reserve. Tevin Coleman, out after week one with an ankle injury. So they were relying on Breida and then Raheem Mostert, a guy who was injured last year, and Jeff Wilson, who they called up from the practice squad. And in those couple weeks without Coleman, Mostert and Wilson really stepped it up. Wilson, you know, ended up having two touchdowns a game for those first 2 weeks that he was in. Mostert also banged up. He has been out of practice after he sustained a knee injury on Sunday. So it is gonna be different. And then, of course, you don't have Kyle Juszczyk, their all-pro fullback. So that definitely does make things a little complicated. But with what we've seen Kyle Shanahan be able to figure out, I mean, I think back to that design play for Debo Samuel where he scored on a running play. They're creative enough to be able, I think, to overcome it, and they feel confident that they have the depth to respond to any kind of injury situation that's thrown their way.
Talking to Kate Rooney, Cron 4 News sports reporter up in San Francisco. Now, you've mentioned Kyle Shanahan and his play calling quite a bit. Cliff Kingsbury, also a pretty innovative offensive mind. What has the team said about prepping for Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, and this offense that continues to evolve throughout the year?
They definitely think it's going to be a challenge. Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh both said it yesterday, that this is a head coach that they haven't faced before. And this is a type of quarterback that they haven't faced before, because he's really the first mobile quarterback that the 49ers are seeing this season. So, you know, there's the balance of trying to figure out, well, do you want to stick to the things that you do well that have worked so far this season defensively, or are you going to try to change it up based on the personnel that the Cardinals have? For what Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan said yesterday, they're kind of going to try to achieve a balance of the two. Against the run, the 49ers are good, obviously. I think they're top 10 or 11 in the league in stopping the run so far this year. But it's a different story when you have a mobile quarterback like that. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they scheme up for Kyler Murray. I do think that the 49ers front is dominant enough that it's going to be able to harry him on the pass a little bit, going to try to force him to run the ball, not be able to air it out. So that, I think, could be where the 49ers defensive line becomes a thorn in Murray's side.
And as we continue to preview this game, is there a certain X factor, a particular player on this 49ers roster, on this Cardinals roster that you're looking at that could have a big impact on the game that maybe people aren't talking about quite yet?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. You know, I think the players that 49er fans are worried about for Arizona are the guys like Kyler Murray, Larry Fitzgerald, obviously you can never count him out, and then a couple of those guys on defense like Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson. Those are names that we've heard come up repeatedly from the 49ers players this week as they're getting ready for this game. But on as far as the 49ers go, I'm kind of looking for Emmanuel Sanders to have a really big week this week. I think this is the week that they're going to say, all right, we're going in here against a divisional opponent on a short week. We're going to try something a little bit different. See if we can really get him to open things up this week and have him be a bit of a threat, and maybe make Jimmy Garoppolo be a little bit of that gunslinger that teams haven't seen and haven't expected. So I wouldn't be surprised if Emmanuel Sanders has a really big week.
She is Kate Rooney, Cron for News Sports Reporter. Kate, thanks so much for joining us and helping us preview this game coming up on Thursday.
Thanks for having me on, Jordan. I think it's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, absolutely. Always fun when the NFC West gets together, and then we get a rematch just a couple weeks away. Kate, once again, thanks so much, and have a good week.
You too.
That is Kate Rooney, Cron for News Sports Reporter. Once again, does a great job up in the Bay Area. Make sure to follow her on Twitter as well. And this is the Brad Sesmatt Show. Coming up next, we have Justin Spears talking U of A and the coaching changes on the defensive side of the football. That's all coming up next on the Brad Sesmatt Show on Sports 360 AZ.
Justin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I always appreciate the time.
So the defense had struggled on and off throughout the year. What do you think ultimately was the last straw for Kevin Sumlin to make this move and move on from these coaches?
Well, you know, Marcel Yates was in a different position than maybe, you know, some of the other coaches, because Marcel Yates has been here since, you know, Rich Rodriguez was here. You know, he's been the defensive coordinator ever since 2016. So he's had, you know, 3+ years to kind of figure it out. And while the defense has trended in the right direction, it still hasn't made great improvement. And when you look at, you know, the talent that they have on that side of the ball, you know, guys like Colin Schooler, Jalen Harris, Anthony Pandy, Tony Fields, Jace Whitaker, you know, this defense is much better than what they've shown, especially over the last few years. And you look at the last three games, you know, Arizona's given up 41 points, and they also gave up 51 points against Washington. So you look at, you know, what they've done this year, not much improvement. And under, you know, Marcel Yates, Arizona has them ranked higher than ninth in the Pac-12 in total defense and points per game. Right now, they're ranked 11th. So, you know, it hasn't been a great season for Marcel Yates. I would have thought they might have given him until the end of the year, but, you know, right now, I think they needed to make a decision because, you know, with National Signing Day coming up, with the spring period coming up, they got to get, you know, things, you know, kind of put together so they can figure out what they want to do come 2020.
Marcel Yates heavily involved in the recruiting side of things. How does that impact his departure?
I don't really think it impacts the Wildcats at all if they get a solid replacement. We can go through a whole laundry list of names and, you know, throw out a bunch of guys. And I think a lot of players would want to play for them. I do know that one of the recruits that was primarily recruited by Marcel Yates and also John Rushing is L.A. cornerback Kyrie Crump. But, you know, he loves Arizona. He visited the Wildcats, or he visited Tucson just a few weeks ago. He enjoyed his visit. And I don't think a coaching change is going to alter the decisions for some of these recruits, but that remains to be seen.
So Chuck Cecil taking over the defense now, obviously has ties to the NFL running defenses. What do you expect from him, and what do you think the overall reaction is to having him step in that position?
You know, it's an interesting situation because, you know, Chuck Cecil was an analyst. He was a defensive analyst for Arizona. How does a guy who coached defenses in the National Football League go from that to, you know, being an analyst? You always had this feeling that Chuck Cecil was the next guy in line. Whether it was, you know, coaching the defensive backs, being the defensive coordinator, or heck, even being the head coach, you always felt that Chuck Cecil was due for a bigger role on this Arizona coaching staff. And now he's going to get his chance. And, you know, this is an audition. These next four games that Arizona has coming up, they got Oregon State this week. They got Oregon on the road. They have Utah at home. And then to close things out, they have to go up to Tempe and play at ASU. This is an opportunity for Chuck Cecil to really put things together and show that he's capable of running this Arizona defense. And it's a cool story, too, because he's a former Arizona Wildcat. When you think about the legacies at Arizona, you think about the best plays in program history. What is the best play? The 106-yard interception return for a touchdown against ASU. Chuck Cecil is one of the most iconic Wildcats in program history. And now that he's a part of the coaching staff, you know, maybe, you know, the defense can, you know, turn the tide. And Kevin Sumlin always says he wanted to really open the doors for former Wildcats. Well, now that's really the case now because you got Chuck Cecil, one of the most iconic Wildcats in program history, as your defensive coordinator. So it should be interesting to see what he can do for the rest of the season.
Talking to Justin Spears, Arizona Daily Star, ESPN Tucson as well. Very busy man covering the U of A Wildcats. So you mentioned those final four games. It is a tough sledding in terms of opposition and offensive output. What progress do you think needs to be seen where Chuck Cecil could stick around and this defense and this defensive season could be salvaged?
Well, I think they need to develop a pass rush. We really haven't seen much of that over the course of the season. We've seen it, you know, in spurts. You know, you see Colin Schooler, Tony Fields, Anthony Pandy. They were somewhat able to get to the quarterback in games that they won. You look at Texas Tech, you look at UCLA. Those games, Arizona was able to rattle the quarterback. It didn't show on paper. They didn't really record that many sacks. I forgot what the numbers are, but they were able to get quarterbacks outside of the pocket and make them uncomfortable. We haven't seen that over the last few weeks. KJ Costello had an awesome day last weekend against Arizona. You know, threw for over 300 yards after missing a month with a hand injury. I thought KJ Costello was going to be rusty. He didn't look rusty against Arizona's defense. You know, and with the upcoming opponents, you know, outside of Oregon State, and you know, I still think that they're going to give the Wildcats a tough bout, but, you know, Utah, Tyler Huntley, one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the country. Justin Herbert, who a lot of people think is going to be a first-round quarterback. And then you look at Jaden McDaniels and what he's been able to do as a true freshman quarterback, and he's a special talent. So Arizona, they're going to be facing some quality quarterbacks. Can they develop a pass rush? Can Jalen Harris, J.D. Brown, can those guys get off the edge and get to the quarterback? One defensive lineman I think is going to make some noise in the last four games of the season is a junior college transfer, Trayvon Mason. You know, he's an interesting story. You know, he's a veteran guy. He came from a junior college in Texas. So he checks off all the boxes that Arizona needed, experience and size. He's about 6'5", 300-plus pounds. He lost some weight over the season, so he's more agile. And I compare him to P.J. Johnson from a year ago, another junior college transfer who made a lot of noise for Arizona, he got better as the season progressed. Trayvon Mason has gotten better as the season progressed. Against Stanford, you know, he was only recorded for one pass breakup or one deflection. But my goodness, I felt like he had at least four or five. You know, he was like Dikembe Mutombo out there, you know, blocking all of KJ Costello's passes. If he continues to get better and he shows that he can be one of the anchors for Arizona's defense for next season, then you know, I think that's a plus for Arizona. So getting a pass rush and getting to the quarterback is goal number one. And when you get a pass rush, you know what that back end can do. Arizona's got quality defensive backs that can make plays. So I think pass rush should be your top option for Arizona.
Justin, we appreciate the time and the insight as always. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jordan. Appreciate it.